flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I'm a big believer of chemistry.
If learning the system, yeah. If you're learning a new system, especially as a quarterback, coaches tend to get comfortable with those guys who are there in the spring. So, that's why freshmen started enrolling early a decade ago in January, right? Is they wanted to give themselves the best chance to get on the field. So they wanted to be there for the spring. So you are rolling the dice a little bit if you come in the second window. I mean, we haven't seen a ton of those second window transfers. Kind of be high-impact players, but part of that may be because, the highest-end players aren't moving around in the second window. If some guys feel burned, some high-level guys feel burned, maybe we do see a second market.
Yeah, Blake, I was just picking back off of that. I have one for you, too. What do you know at this point about how the second window landscape could change now with where NIL is, and because you mentioned it, I went to Tennessee, and of course they need some more pieces over there, but you're gonna have this second window. Do you think certain SEC schools are kind of looking at this window as another opportunity, so to speak, to kind of get some high level playmakers that they probably could get in the first window?
Yeah, I think most coaches look at that second window as like adding the final one or two pieces. Mm-hmm. I don't think schools are like holding back a ton, thinking, we're going to make our moves in the second window. But I do think, you get a look at what you have in February, March, April, and it can be sort of confirming what you already thought, or maybe kind of eye-opening during those months of like, oh, wait, we do not have the talent I thought I had at this position. We have to go get it, get a piece or two to address that. So I think what we will see is, guys rounding their transfer class out with one or two or three guys that they kind of target as, this is our highest position of need. We got to spend some resources here, because what I saw in the spring, wasn't enough to be competitive in the fall. So we got to pay what it costs to add those final pieces to address those positions. Now, part of that's dependent on who's available. I look at LSU as an example. Last year, Brian Kelly knew coming out of spring practice, he did not have the defensive tackles that he needed to be competitive at that position. And I think he kind of waffled because I don't think he thought the guys going in the portal in that second window were enough of an upgrade over what he had to justify the expense. Now, in hindsight, the defense being what it was, maybe he should, you know, maybe
I think Walter Nolan would have helped him out.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a different story. But I do think, like, probably should have forked over the money and taken what you could get, you know? And at the end of the day, like, guys, it's not their money, right? Like, you're spending someone else's money. So if there's a piece out there that you think can help you, maybe even just if there's a chance he can help you, and if the money's sitting there, spend it. Go get him. Take the chance.
Yeah.
Blake, have a great weekend, buddy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, again, senior national college football columnist for USA Today Sports. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's get into the list. Let's talk about what we saw last night with the Grizzlies. Talk some Jaren Jackson. Also, the Tigers pick up a nice win at Tulane. Talk about where they are now currently in the projected brackets. We'll do all that and talk games of the weekend during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. There's one last day to get involved with Zen Sports VIP Players Club sweepstakes, and you're going to want to do so because the prizes have been raised to a whole new level. This month, one grand prize winner will win a $10,000 bonus bet on the NFL big game in February and $10,000 cash, or you can take the alternative payout of $15,000 cash. You have the ability to earn entries on every bet you place this month and every dollar you wager. Plus, you can earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. It doesn't get much better than this. And if you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You'll still also have a shot to win one of five small prizes, which grant you either a $1,000 bonus bet or on the big game, I should say, or $250 cash. Also, for all the new customers who sign up using code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll receive 500 bonus entries in addition to the entries earned from the value of the qualifying bet. Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you can also earn a $100 no-danger first wager on your first bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. No danger first wager, limited to plus 500 odds. To qualify, terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. That's right. Jaren Jackson Jr. earned his second ever All-Star Game appearance. He was selected as a reserve last night. And DeMichael, I think this was kind of the... So Jaren was taken with the wild card pick, correct?
Yeah.
So basically, it seems like it came down to him and Sabonis for the West.
Mm-hmm. Probably with the bigs, yep.
The thing that I liked about it was I felt like Ty went to... Jaren's team's better.
Yeah, he's winning.
And the other thing I thought was interesting, so of course we're always going to have the snub talk. Who got snubbed? It's like as soon as the list comes out, then it's who got snubbed.
Yep.
Did you catch Trae Young last night?
Yeah. He said it's getting Trae now.
He was talking like he lost a member of his family.
It's like... Who was that? You remember Damian Lillard used to go through that.
Well, and then we've also got, we now got Booker saying he wants to expand the rosters.
Yeah.
I'm solidly putting my feet down on this.
Mm-hmm.
The more people you add, the less it becomes a resume line. It's already, like, I already struggle with, it's a little
it
too popular.
It ain't Pro Bowl bad, no. But it's, yeah.
Like
it still feels like it's a
popularity
it's a badge
contest.
Of honor in a way.
It's almost like,
but the yeah,
there's less. Like at least I feel like in the baseball All-Star game,
uh-huh.
For the most part, you had to earn your way there. Now,
for sure.
If you're on a
for
really
sure.
bad team, they got to pick one. Okay, that's not a little, but it does feel like almost everybody's there. Like you've had a good year.
Yeah,
I just like I'm always just in the whenever we talk about expanding the roster, it's like, play better.
And it's not a great game. I don't want to expand and see more players.
Do we care about the new format? So we're gonna have essentially
the players don't even like
a we're gonna have a four team tournament, right? So three NBA teams.
Yep.
Is it divided up? If there's
it's
three
like
NBA
eight players per.
Can so I pick both East and West?
I think that's how it's gonna be. I mean, it has to be because if you
are
have
we drafting
players,
again,
yeah.
Who are the captains?
Yeah, I don't know yet.
This is the other problem. They've changed the format so much that, like, you're confusing
me. Just go back to old reliable, right?
There was something to be said about East versus West.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I do wonder in the back of my mind, is that repeatable? Because a part of the beauty of that was we had such a scarcity of seeing these guys. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part, other than we got Bulls games on WGN, and then you have the national games. But basically, we're just watching highlights of the Sports Center. Like, seeing everybody playing all at once was a novelty. Well, that's no longer a special thing. I still think, though, the larger issue is, are guys going to take it seriously?
Mm-hmm.
And I just find, like, I'm now at the point where I will believe it when I see it that they're going to take it seriously. Because, and to a certain degree, like, I kind of get it. Like,
I honestly, I don't love this new format, but I like the fact that they adding the winner of the Rising Stars. Because those dudes, when they have to play the All-Stars,
they will play hard.
And All-Stars, it's either you getting embarrassed by getting beat by younger guys, or you win. So maybe that's part of the thinking. There's a psych to it, I guess. But yeah, save the All-Star game, man. It's melting.
Does this make me a hypocrite?
Okay.
I don't want G League guys in the dunk contest.
I've always said that. Like, everyone's always like Mac McClung, and I'm like, I got nothing against the guy, but I'm like, look, if you're gonna put Mac McClung in it, let's go get the YouTube street dunkers.
That's my whole thing.
If that's what we're gonna do,
if we're gonna do that, go find me the best dunkers on the planet.
Yeah, just bring them to All Star Weekend, because what made the aura of All Star Weekend was the All Stars participating in was Michael Jordan jumping from the free throw line. It was
Vince Carter doing the thread slash. Yeah.
It was those players. You know, Amari Stoudemire and Steve Nash doing the soccer windmill dunk and all that stuff. Like, Dwight Howard.
Was Blake? Who was the first guy to dunk over the car?
Blake dunked over the car. The Kia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All-Stars. Like, and Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon were at least, like, young rising stars. Like, they weren't, you know, what we had, like, Jeremy Evans. In it one year, the guy who played for Utah, and then ever since then, it's been like this year's group is, like, Bouzelis is in it, the rookie.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
And then, you know, Mac McClung is in it again. And
Mac still in the G League?
Yeah.
Because, like, there's also a point for me, it's like, Mac, how long are you going to play in the G League? Like, at a certain point, like...
He's like that dude that played with the Lakers who like made a career out of playing the G League until he got that call that time.
Yeah, but, and it's like, I admit I am a sucker for that story.
Yeah,
didn't we have wasn't there like a baseball player either this year or last year that was like 34 and made his debut?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, I am kind of a sucker for that story, but at a certain point, it's like
a good story.
Man, why are you still like? Surely you can make more money. Like, if you want to play basketball, there's got to be a bunch of places you can play and make more money.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't – like, the snubbing, it's like they got to pick
– Now, I'll say in their defense, it's a lot of decent snubs every year. But there is some legitimacy to that idea to me.
This is the problem that I don't care for the snub conversation when you make the starters a joke. Because the starters is just a popularity contest, largely.
But here's the problem. Do you want to discount fans? Because we're in an era where it's we want the fans. Because here's the LaMelo Ball thing. Media said no. Coaches said no. Players were like, possible. It'll be cool. Fans were like, he's got to be there. If you watch him play, he's a fan's guy. If you watch him play, he's a coach's nightmare. So
here would be my argument.
Yeah.
If I thought the voting was honest, I would agree. Mm. Because in the end, the whole reason they have jobs is because we watch.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's so much ballot stuffing and, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, if they were tracing IP addresses, one vote per person, or maybe like limited to all your devices. Okay, fine.
Wasn't it like with baseball, you can only vote like two or three times I don't know if it's a day or a week or something like that, but
there used to be a limit. Yeah. And then I don't, it's been so long since I even did
that. It's something like that with baseball. They got, I'm pretty sure it's some type of limit. But I don't know if it's the same way.
I used to be cool with you could only place a ballot at a game. And you had to like, but I don't want to also, like, not everybody can afford to go to games.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So like, I was like, I don't, that's, I'm not cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like for, there's just so much ballot stuffing that I just, I'm like, take it away.
Yeah. It's tough, man, because you look at the snub, like Trae Young. I mean, I kind of feel for the guy a little bit. He's a assist monster. And I'm a, you talk about what you're a sucker for. I'm a sucker for the guys who elevate mediocre teams. Like, congratulations to Darius Garland for getting his All-Star bid, right?
Yes.
Congratulations.
All-Star, what is it? All, what are they doing? All Garland?
Yeah.
Or all Starland?
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Congratulations to him, but individually, he's not having a better season than Trae Young to be. I don't think you put Darius Garland on the Hawks and they were
okay,
at one
counterpoint.
Point. Mm-hmm.
Are the Hawks mediocre because of Trae Young?
I mean, you can make that argument defensively.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in the end,
does he is the offensive is it net positive enough?
Correct.
I think so. I mean, I think so. Like,
cuz I've always struggled with Trae in the sense of I, like you, love the passing.
Yeah.
And I know, like, we're supposed to be Ja guys. Like, obviously, I would take Ja over him. I think Ja contributes to winning way more.
Yeah.
But, like, there's something in the back of my mind. It's like, it's always somebody else's fault. Like,
Yeah.
What if it's
look
him?
In the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
All right. Who else are we considering?
Snub?
Yeah, I mean, I largely stayed off the internet last night.
I feel bad for Sabonis. I mean, you know, LaMelo is the first time, he's the first guard or first player ever to be first in fan voting and not make it. So that is, but he is the, LaMelo plays different. And like, he is the perfect person to be that guy because he's this guy, we watched his games on Facebook in Lithuania as he's coming up at 16 years old. So he gets this own worldwide fan base. And then if you watch him play, like, it's not an appeasing style to coaches. But as fans, you're like, how did he make that shot? As a coach, you're like, why is he taking that shot? So,
yeah, I think, though, isn't his biggest problem is they just suck so bad.
And that's why, again, going back to my original point, if you line the rosters up.
Yeah. Now, no, I think the Hornets are god-awful.
Yeah, they are. But the Pistons, they don't have another star. Cade Cunningham is just that dude.
Speaking of, this was a tough scene.
Mm, yeah, I know you're going.
I did the move where I tried to pull up the tab.
Uh-huh.
All right, Isaiah Stewart.
Yep. You dub.
Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah Stewart has been suspended one game without pay after picking up his sixth flagrant foul of the season, the NBA announced on Friday.
It's just one game, right?
Stewart received a flagrant foul and was ejected with 8:45 remaining in the second quarter. Picked it up early in the Pistons' 133-119 loss to the Pacers on Wednesday. Stewart will serve his suspension when the Pistons host the Dallas Mavericks on Friday.
Nah.
Coincidentally, the Pistons had planned to honor Stewart by giving away a bobblehead of his likeness to fans attending Friday's game.
It's not just one game.
The Pistons told TMZ Sports they plan to go through with the giveaway as the promotional schedule is locked in once the schedule is released. That's a tough scene.
You're missing your bobblehead night, man.
Because of the ways to get suspended, it's...
You knew your bobblehead night was coming up, too. Like,
I think that's the question. Do you have to factor in and make a business decision? Because it's not like making a hard foul, late game, probably pushing the envelope in for the sake of a win.
Mm-hmm.
This was just picking it up in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Do you have to factor in, like, should he have part of his game prep, like when he's going over the whiteboard, his defensive assignments, should he have also said, I cannot pick up a flagrant tonight because bobbleheads on Friday?
I think a lot of players would think that. I don't think Isaiah Stewart's one of those dudes. Like, he is, I mean, ever since that moment where he's like full face, full of blood, chasing after LeBron James.
Has anyone, like, because obviously I'm sure
he's different.
I'm sure people have missed bobblehead night for injury.
Yeah, and you know, in baseball, it
for sure
it happens.
Who knows? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know: is this our first person that missed bobblehead night,
like self-inflicted,
for a suspension? This feels noteworthy. He was also fined $50,000 for making inappropriate objectionable gestures following his ejection. Stewart also stands to lose $86,207 in salary.
Joe
for missing Friday's
doesn't
game.
Play with these dudes, man.
You're right, though. He does strike me as the guy that does not care at all. Tiger basketball. All right, so Memphis goes to Tulane and snaps the three-game losing streak. They win 68-56. And really, Michael, I know you were covering the game.
Yep.
I thought there were a couple of things that stood out.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I loved how they closed both halves.
Yeah.
Because the game started getting a little squirrely in the first half, and the Tigers closed, I think, on a 9-0 run to take the lead into the halftime.
Yeah.
So I thought I liked that. I also liked that when it came, like, winning time,
mm-hmm.
completely put them away.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that this is something I'm flagging. The trend so far has been positive. Putting Danger back in the starting lineup mm-hmm. is making a difference.
It is.
And so, again, I'm not going to sit here and try to make the biggest deal out of going and beating Tulane. But this is all we got. Like, this is the league. And you go
in. The talk has been they've been playing with their food.
And and last night was a tough game. And you got PJ did not play well.
Right.
Didn't score well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like seeing when a team can win a game on the road and your best player really gave you nothing. And on top of that, it's not just PJ gave you nothing. You didn't get much out of Tyrese either, and you still won the game by double digits.
You tell me that, I'm nervous.
Yes. By the way, they're going to combine for 15 points on 11 of 19 shooting, and they're only going to hit 1-3. You're probably thinking that's not a great night. I'm cautiously optimistic that the defense is coming around, too. That's where I don't know because of the league.
That's where, like, that's the give and take with Danger, right?
Yes.
Like, and you get away with it more in the league, in my opinion, because, like, he did good, you know, the last game against, you know, the last couple bigs that they've played. But when you get to March and you're you know, March is all about having elite guard play and kind of a security blanket.
Yes.
Down low.
Well, there's also, and this was used to always be something that I used to always wonder about with Gonzaga.
Uh-huh.
Because Gonzaga, much like the Tigers, they would have to front load their non-conference schedule.
Yep.
And then they get into the beast that is the West Coast Conference.
Yeah.
And they haven't really played meaningful basketball for
three months. On that St. Mary's game.
Correct. And I've always thought it is so much easier to go from playing on all Madden to going back to rookie.
I mean, we're seeing it.
But then you have to ramp back up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always thought like in baseball, when you would, like, I had some buddies that played at a lower level, and there was like a day where they didn't have enough players. And like, hey, can you come play with us in like this tournament?
I was like, sure.
Man, that's like when you go from and you go down a level, you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I still don't know what to do with Bo Nix, but I kind of thought like when Bo Nix went to Oregon, it's like, that makes sense to me. It's like he's gone from playing in the SEC to like, and he's going to a team with a better roster with Oregon and he's playing against worse defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's going to look good. But then Bo had a pretty good year this year, and so it's like, I don't know what to do with it. But it's like, I do worry about that a little bit for when they get to the tournament. With that being said, I'm not going to change the standard for me, which was, I just felt like given the chaotic nature of the offseason, the whole thing for me is make this a reset year. Get back to the tournament, get everything back on the rails, and honestly, I think it's gone even better than you could expect because I also think they made this comment on the broadcast. I can't remember if they said Ron Hunter told Penny that, but another coach told Penny, you got a team now. You've gone from having an A.
You can see it.
Correct. And
we used to talk about the how is he going to play these guys and this guys, and he had the mix
less
of
is more.
The high ranked recruits and the older guys who have kind of paved their way. And you don't got to worry about all that now. It's 7-8 guys. You know who's going to play every single night. You know that backcourt. Those are your leaders. You know you got to get the ball to Dane. You know who are your defensive stoppers. It's so much, like you said, it's less is more. It's more, you know, structured is the way to say it. And that just makes everyone knows their job.
Everybody knows who they're playing with, too.
Yeah.
I think it's a huge part. All right, now here's the other thing that happened last night. I need you to give me a ruling. So the game's still in the balance with about 4 minutes left.
Okay.
Tulane starts bringing out the yellow rope to crowd control a potential court storming.
They're losing, right?
They're losing, but they're in it.
Okay.
Immediately, like, Colby Rogers hits a three, yep. And then the Tigers end up winning by double. Like, that was like, because they even mentioned on the broadcast that Kirk, the SID at Memphis, like, saw it. And so most people believe the Tigers saw it too.
Yeah.
And potentially maybe lit a fire under him and put the game away.
Yeah.
We also then got the anecdote, because at first I was like, oh boy. You can't do that. Like, you gotta, like, that has to be 30 seconds left in the game, yeah. And you're clearly going to win.
Yeah.
I was more open to discussion when they mentioned on the broadcast that Tulane had also sent to Memphis prior to the game, like, instructions on potential court storming. Mm. So you've already kind of lit that fuse, yeah. But I saw people making the case that the best thing that happened to the Tigers was Tulane bringing out the rope. Where do you come down?
Oh, for sure. Athletes create these scenarios in their head to get this mental edge all the time. And the baseball analogy of what you said that I see all the time, and I'm sure you do too, is when October and late September gets there and the opposing team sees that the team has already ordered champagne.
Yep.
For a potential clinching game and things like that, and it lights that fire under you.
One of my favorite moments in sports, though, are when the team has like the champagne going to the locker room, and then you get the hidden camera view of them breaking it down.
Yep,
like,
yep.
Because like an inning went really poorly.
Uh huh.
Was it a Guardians game? I remember somebody.
It happens. Man.
Somebody, and it's like, oh, I do. Uh-huh. It's like, you shouldn't have done that. Because obviously, like, the team knows nothing about it.
Right.
Yeah, because my wife was worried. She's a big Bills fan. And she knew on Sunday she couldn't go get champagne in the event that they beat the Chiefs. So she asked me to do it, but she was wondering if that cost the Bills. And I'm not even saying this just because it's my wife and I'm trying. I think that's in bounds. I think what makes it a problem is if you go and buy it yourself before the game. Mm. But at the same time, it's like, you got to have it there. Like, when it was me versus Coach K in the Final Four, I went to Costco. I got the champagne ready to go. And sure enough, I got to pop that bad boy thanks to the fine young men of the University of North Carolina. I think, though, like, in the end, I told her, I think Patrick Mahomes might have had more to do with it than
of course.
Just having it.
At the end of the day.
But you do have that really sad bottle of champagne just sitting in the fridge right now. And now it's like every time, like, you go to open the fridge.
You just, yeah.
All right, let's get into some games of the weekend. Let's talk about what we're most excited about. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We had our first real weekend without any football because we do not acknowledge the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, what's that?
I guess it's a flag game now.
It is.
The biggest news that we heard, so Peyton and Eli are doing the kick of destiny, and Peyton went on with McAfee today, and reportedly Eli pulled his hamstring trying to kick. He said it's not going well. I don't know if Peyton's trying to manipulate the markets, but allegedly last night my boy Goff put on an absolute throwing exhibition, which I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm only here to acknowledge it for the fans. We expected that. My guy's just a pure thrower of the football, so we're not even here to talk about that. So I think mainly what it comes down to this weekend, I think it's kind of the college hoops slate.
Yeah,
we got a loaded Saturday, and we start at 11 a.m. over in Knoxville. We got Florida at Tennessee. Tennessee trying to get off the mat after the UK loss. We've got Ole Miss at Auburn right after that. Mm-hmm. Then that's the ESPN. Then we got KU goes to Baylor. Baylor trying to see if they can salvage it. But we also, later that evening, allegedly we have Duke, North Carolina. Is this the least headliner Duke, North Carolina has been all year?
I think
it's, or been in years?
I think this is the biggest, the most lopsided, the biggest favorite in the
13
series,
and a half.
In the series since, think 2020 or something like that.
And then also our nightcap.
Yeah.
John Calipari.
I can't
headed
wait.
Back to Rupp.
I can't wait for this.
Okay. So I just made you watch the Rick Pitino video.
This is 12-8 Arkansas, by the way.
Correct. Number one, I suspect he is going to get booed mercilessly. I also would like to acknowledge, for those that have not seen the Rick Pitino message to Big Blue Nation, I think it was a masterclass of tell your story. Rule number one, how do you get people to do what you want them to do? Tell them not to do it.
Yeah.
And you get to come off looking so classy. I told you about Mark Pope. I was right on that.
Yeah.
Show him some class. He also fires in there, as you know, John and I are not best friends. It's like...
Remember that part, Big Blue
correct.
Nation.
Throws that in there. Also, think about all the talent he brought you.
The
national championship. Or a national... so he was going... It was just digging. Yet he gets to come off... Look how classy that was. Because he knows at the end of the day, they're going to boo him anyway. I think this... I'm all in on this Pitino. Also, Rick going back to New York City has made that New York Italian accent just come back.
He always,
even when he was at Louisville, he still had it. But it is now, and I used to always find this out, when I was in California, your accent just kind of withers. It's just not as strong.
Yeah.
When I would come home.
Me in Philly.
When I would come home for Christmas break and then go back, everybody's like, whoa. Yeah. I was better talk around my people.
Uh-huh.
His accent gets thicker. I'm all in on this video.
It's hilarious, man. I think John Calipari is going to be booed before he even walks in. They're going to get word that he's getting off the bus.
My other thing is
he's going to get booed.
When people do the should he get booed? Number one, I don't care.
What does it really mean in the realm of things, right?
When people go, well, look at what he gave you. Okay, they're going to honor the national championship.
Yeah, he'll come back in 20 years.
Correct.
He'll get clapped for.
That's when you get clapped.
Yeah.
That's when you get the ovation. In the end, this is also kind of the reality of John Calipari. It's when it doesn't end well, people are mad.
Cough, cough.
Right. And I guess at least Memphis wanted him back, whereas Kentucky was kind of we're ready for anything new. Man, if he really does have one special up his sleeve, though.
Oh.
I've had his sweat off betting them, though.
He's going to take the high road. But.
Well, he also is uniquely equipped for this.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine no man in college basketball has been booed in more venues than Cal.
It's a fair point.
Right?
Yeah, no current man. Yeah, Coach K probably used to get his
yeah,
share,
but Coach K, even the non-Dookie delusionals, the people that were under his spell of BS.
Yeah.
He still had, there are people around the country that, thought he did it the right way.
Yeah.
There's, with Cal, it's either, he's either your guy or everybody's, not for me.
Yeah.
And then, you have the occasional person like me that's, he is a tremendous television character.
Yeah.
I have to swear them off, though, because I I got to quit betting them.
Yeah.
I'm done. But that...
I don't know.
If there's going to be a day.
This is back against the wall. You got 8 losses. Like,
yeah, but I thought that was the... Let's see. I thought that was the Missouri game.
Yeah.
I thought that was the LSU game. I guess Georgia, it did work out, but like, that's the problem is like, I've done that move.
And you know, I mean, Kentucky fans have always been knowledgeable. You know they want to get that feeling of we're knocking Arkansas, you know, like out of the tournament picture or whatever the case may be, like at least for the time being. Like Kentucky fans are, I feel like they kind of want to, you know.
They definitely have a highfalutin, like a,
yeah,
we're better. We're above this.
Yeah,
but they also are petty.
We're it's the brand. Like them saying, like, oh, you know, we don't want Calipari anymore,
right?
Because the brand Kentucky, and everyone wants to believe that, but that's not true at in a bunch of places.
Oh yes,
the brand.
Everyone is just convinced, yeah, like
the brand is bigger.
There are Mississippi State fans that were like, you know what, we're sick of Dan anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
anyone don't want him back now?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, all right, what are you looking most forward to this weekend?
I got to go back to Tennessee, Florida. And this isn't even my Knoxville roots coming in. It's the fact that Tennessee lost that game against Kentucky. And we talked about this game. Did you hear what was being said after that game? Like, well, it was respectfully said. But Kentucky said
nothing tougher than having the Go Big Blue.
Mm.
The Go Big Blue chant.
That never happened when I was there. I'm building. What is this? What is this?
Like, I almost think people start booing. It's like, I almost think that's worse. Like,
you're acknowledging
correct.
It. You're saying they're too loud. They're too loud. We got to stop it. You make it worse. But,
They're also going to be combating. Their worst shooting performance of the year was the first game against Florida.
Yeah.
I think Tuesday had to be the next worst shooting.
That one was embarrassing because Kentucky basically said,
they were daring you.
We're going to make them shoot. And Rick Barnes says, we knew they were going to dare us to shoot. And we took too many threes and we didn't make any. And what do you think Florida's going to do after, like you said, the first performance? This is going to be a telling one. If this one follows the script of that first Florida game, of that last game against Kentucky, and even to a degree the Auburn one, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
They're in trouble.
I think until Zakai breaks out of the slump, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because he's clearly in a slump.
Yeah, he is.
I cannot believe, honestly, the way they were talking, when Rick was talking with Molly McGrath, like, I just assumed he tore his ACL again.
Mm.
Like, I knew it was like a hybrid, but it's like, the way they were talking was like, it's over.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and plays every minute in the second half. I was like, this is wrestling stuff. It's like, well, what? Like, I thought it's like very serious.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, DeMichael, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to Zion Williamson. He was asked about load management and is not playing back-to-backs. Let me be clear. Let me make this clear to everybody out there. If I could play in back-to-backs, I would. Mm. Physically, yes, I can.
Mm.
But I work for the Pelicans. They have decided that, based off the numbers, it's not smart to do that right now. If that's why they feel, if that's what they feel, I'm rocking with them on that. All right, so on one level, does Zion look better, or do the Pelicans look worse? Like, because on the one hand, it's almost like, man, keep that in house.
Yeah.
Although I'm fine with you saying it.
Yeah.
I'm also, if I'm the Pelicans, like,
there's a slight in there. He didn't say I play for the Pelicans. He said I work for the Pelicans.
No, that's true.
There's a slight in there.
But if you're the Pelicans, like, I imagine you have a little PTSD.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Always good having you in here.
For sure.
Of course, is DeMichael Cole. Check out his podcast, the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Episodes every weekday. Follow him on Twitter @DeMichaelC. I want to thank Blake Topmeyer for being on the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for DeMichael, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.